In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder if I can ask you to look up. Look up around you at the windows of this beautiful cathedral church. These windows tell the story of the transmission of the gospel. And more specifically, they tell the story of the Anglican expression of the gospel as it has traveled the world to end up here in Toronto. They tell us how the Church of God has never stopped obeying its divine commission to go into all the world. And they express a deeper message. Look forward to the one who greets each worshiper entering the cathedral and seeing the window at the center of its apse, Jesus. And as we proceed up the aisle, we understand that the cathedral's and the church universal's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. I've always loved stained glass, their vibrant colors, their larger-than-life stories. But I love them most because they've always helped me to come to understand more fully the meaning of today's feast, All Saints' Day. I could look around me and see the evidence of the richness and of the depth of the realization that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, not only in the portrayal of these people in the glass, but also in the gifts of the faithful who donated them over time. In the very early days of the church, All Saints' Day was a day set aside to remember the people, the martyrs, who lived extraordinary lives of devotion, many of whom died for their faith. Gradually, though, through the passage of time, the meaning of the saints has broadened out to include all believers, living and dead. So All Saints' Day is a remembrance of the fact that we are all connected by our faith, both those who are present and those who are past. And so this communion is a web of connection. We're connected across the ages, across time, across cultures, and across the world by our faith in the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Honoring the role that saints play in our Christian lives helps us to see ourselves in the greater communal identity of all God's children. There's a social and a corporate dimension to our journey with Jesus that includes them. And when I think about the saints, whether the especially holy or the not so holy, I'm reminded that I have choices to make in my Christian life and that my choices matter. These choices have consequences for our spiritual welfare. We're told to imitate not only Christ, but the saints. Paul in 1 Corinthians urges his readers to imitate his way of life several times. And in Hebrews, to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And by way of admonition, in 1 Timothy, he says that other saints, by the choices they've made, have shipwrecked their faith. And so we do well to consider them too. And in addition to imitating the saints, we're also consoled by the saints. The saints console me that I'm not alone. Rather, I'm surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses who cheer me on to run with endurance the race that is set before me. So wherever I find myself on my Christian pilgrimage, in joy or despair, in faith or in doubt, in sin or in grace, I know that millions and millions and millions of believers have gone before me. Some have failed miserably. Others have triumphed gloriously. But at the end of the race, whether they ran well or poorly, they found ultimate rest in God's grace and forgiveness, a forgiveness that knows no boundaries, and a love which knows no limits. But by far, what is most important is that by remembering the lives of all the saints, both extraordinary and ordinary, we're celebrating what Christ has done in and through us throughout the ages. The Apostle John, in his later life dreamed dreams and saw visions on the Isle of Patmos, and he recorded them for a church suffering persecution and martyrdom. His writings are full of the mystery and the wonder that come from glimpsing things that are almost too holy to be contained by words. And in our reading this morning, for All Saints, John shows us a glimpse of something of heaven itself. He says that there people will be gathered from every single nation and tribe and language on earth, all giving praise to the Lamb who sits on the throne singing blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and might be to our God forever and ever. So from his vision, we can see that heaven is a worshiping kind of place. And I'm very glad to see that it's a singing kind of place as well. But the Greek word that's used here for worship can also refer to work, to labor that's performed for wages. This worship, then, is not the kind that ends in the throne room. It's the kind that extends out into the streets as the saints of heaven also serve one another as God in Christ has served them. And when John lets us have a glimpse into heaven, we see something else too. We see healing. The healing that will go on there is far broader than that of our own personal lives and the lives of our loved ones. For heaven is also a place where all the injustices of this world will finally be made right, where the lowly will be lifted up, the mighty brought low, and where God's vision of a community of justice and peace and equality will finally be a reality. It's great that the gospel lectionary reading assigned for All Saints Day is the Beatitudes in Matthew, because these words call to mind not only those saints who have suffered physical or emotional pain in this life, but also all the martyrs and saints through the centuries who have suffered evil or injustice for righteousness' sake. A vision of what a healed and whole community might look like is in these Beatitudes. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." We are to be those who are full of humility and wonder. We are to be willingly, emotionally exposed and open enough to fully mourn, mourning the state of the world, the failures and losses of our brothers and sisters, and the loss of our own innocence. We are the ones who are to be meek, not seeking power by dominating others, but by attaining true power that's only found in the weakness and the vulnerability of the cross of Christ. We are to hunger and to thirst for righteousness, yearning for what is right and holy and good from the deepest part of our souls. We are to be merciful, not ruthless, pure in heart, not corrupted, peacemakers, not instigators, the persecuted instead of the persecutors, and reviled and despised as the consequence of standing with the oppressed, but also as a consequence of humility. You see, the healing that goes on in heaven will be a healing not only of body, mind, and spirit, but a healing of the entire social order, as the Lamb who is seated on the throne takes the role of the shepherd, leading his faithful sheep to springs of water where God wipes away every tear from their eyes. That's quite the vision for the children of God, the saints of God. That is not a me-first, individualistic vision by any means. This is a vision of the kingdom that is whole and healthy, and it is the very definition of blessing and God's peace. Well, I don't know about you, but in a world full of Trumps and Weinsteins, of devastating climate change and terrible poverty, of racial inequality and where political conflict can devolve into warfare at the slightest provocation. This image doesn't just have future importance. It has a present urgency to it. Because, as one commentator has written, when we imagine a world so transformed by God that an innumerable crowd of different people from different places speaking different languages gather as one, we must be inspired to action, especially when that vision is so discordant with what we see in our everyday lives. But we must be moved not to will ourselves to become better people, but to trust that God is already drawing us together, that God's promises are already being made true in a world that has stopped making sense. On the ground of God's promises, we can't help but act and hope for something better. For promises are amazing because they don't just describe things. They have the capacity to actually create the reality that they name. So maybe, just maybe, the commemoration of All Saints, as well as being a remembrance of that great cloud of witnesses, maybe it's also an action plan for the saints. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.